You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andrew Mount with you on this edition, and we're looking ahead to Saturday's racing, and we've got a good Saturday in store as well. Mr. Mount, a very good afternoon to you.
Greetings, Mr. Dunn. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you very much.
We've got a pretty good Saturday of racing, and I know that we say that quite a lot.
I'm pleased you said it's a pretty good Saturday rather than Super Saturday, yeah, which is overused as an expression.
But at the same time, there have been Saturdays in recent weeks that have underwhelmed me somewhat. This one I'm hoping will whelm me sufficiently.
What word beginning with S could be used to describe an underwhelming Saturday?
Steady.
Yes.
No, but I always look forward to the Cesaro Rich. From a betting point of view, I think it's a really good race to get stuck into, and we will get into that race shortly. But we've also got no shortage of class. We're going to mention briefly Pinatubo shortly as well, who of course runs in the Dewhurst, and we've got good jumping action back as well at Chepstow, haven't we?
Yep, quality stuff, something for everybody.
We'll start with the Cesarowicz at Newmarket. Now, at the time of recording, we are paying six places each way on the race here at William Hill, so plenty of each way value to be found if you are looking to delve into it. The race is coming up at 4:10, and Build Me Up Buttercup is currently 5-1. 7-1 for Land of Oz, Ranch Hand is 8s, Timoshenko 9s, 12-1 Great White Shark, and 14s and Bigger the remainder. But you could feasibly give chances to a whole host of runners in this. Where do we start?
Yeah, well, you just have to look at the Roll of Honour in recent years. We've had two winners at 66-1, Aim to Prosper in 2012, Scatter Dice for Mark Johnson a year later. Alan King won with Grametti in 2015. That was a 50-1 shot. And we've also had winners at 25-1 and 16-1 as well. So I tend to look for something each way at bigger prices. And the one I've had on my radar for some time is Graceful Lady for Robert Edery. Mm. We're 80-1 about this one at the time of recording. She's a really useful mare, won several times in her career on turf, 6 wins from 27 on the turf, not so good on the all weather. Now, she surprised me by winning on the July course here at Newmarket back in August, because the ground was good to firm. And after that, her trainer, Robert Edery, said that she's won in spite of the ground, not because of it. I expected her to need the run. I expected her to not show her best form until the autumn. Next time out, she went close behind Charlie D at Chepstow, beating the odds-on favourite back in third, Distant Chimes from Mark Prescott. And then last time, she took a backward step. That was in the Cesarowicz trial, over course and distance, finishing seventh of the eight runners, but she failed to settle. And again, the ground was too quick, officially good to firm. Now, she goes well at Newmarket. She goes well at this time of year. She goes well with plenty of cut in the ground. On the 2nd of November last year, she was a 2-mile course winner on soft ground by 6 lengths, no less. And I think she's going to give you a run for your money, and say she's 80-1. You're getting fifth of the odd 6 places. That's 16-1 that she's in the first 5. And the yard had a big price one run well at Southall the other night in the shape of 70. I'll take one more against the field as well, and that's Billy Ray for Mick Shannon. This one disappointed at Ascot last time, but he's had 3 runs at that track, and he's run shockers every single time. 9th of 10, 16th of 18, and 6th of 8, beaten 17 lengths. So he often bounces back from an Ascot run with a good effort elsewhere. Only had 4 runs on good to soft or softer going since his debut, 2 wins and a 2nd to withhold in a field of 16 and a 2-mile handicap at Newbury from those 4 runs. Visor on, that's headgear Mick Shannon's used to good effect already this autumn. And he's 40-1. So, yeah, a couple of big price ones, 80-80 and 40-1 against the field, Graceful Lady and Billy Ray and the Cesarowicz.
Number 30, Graceful Lady, 80-1. Number 14, Billy Ray, 40-1. And out in the office, I've just seen Luke Elder, unfortunately for me. I know, it can't be helped. And he has put up one at a big price as well, number 28, Nui San George at 66-1. So there is value to be found in this race, and our pundits are going for it. Just a line on the favourite, Bilby Up Buttercup, 5-1 at the head of affairs. Frankie aboard, Willie Mullins trains. There's, as Pimmers would say, there's plenty of ticks in boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Up £4 for that narrow second at Leopardstown last time out, when the 7-2 favourite. In terms of you know, how much she's got up her sleeve from the handicapper, possibly not as much as some of the sort of Willie Mullins, you know, sort of short price favourites in these heritage handicaps. Wouldn't surprise me if she won, but at the same time, I don't really want to back her at 4 or 5 to 1 in a field of this size.
40 minutes before the Cesarowicz, which is all about stamina, we've got Pinatubo running in the Dewhurst. 4-11 currently, Wichita 4-1, 14 so positive, and Arizona 22s and bigger the remainder. 9 of them set to go to post, so the race does actually have a fair each way feel to it if there is something at a bigger price that you think could fill the frame. We've currently got a special Pinatubo to win by over 4 lengths at 7-4, out from 6-4. He has been an absolute phenomenon this season, and it would be a really big shock were he to get turned over here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and he proved me wrong in the at the Derby meeting at Epsom. He won the Woodcote Stakes with just one career run behind him. Generally, that goes to an experienced horse with at least two runs to their under their belts. And in winning that after just one run, he proved himself as a horse to follow. Obviously, he's unbeaten since, hacking up by 9 lengths in Group 1 company at the Curragh last time out. It would be a surprise if he were beaten here. But yeah, the yard's not been in supersonic form of late. Sidebin Soror's been going really well, but Charlie Appleby's been fairly quiet by his high standards. And he did have a winner at Kempton this week, but it's 2 wins from 19 in the past fortnight. A lot of them have been finishing second, third or fourth. So, you know, maybe there are one or two chinks in the armour. And backing something each way against the jolly could be the way to go. And positive has done very little wrong as well. 14-1 for the Clive Cox yard. 2 wins and a second to Pinatubo from 3 starts. So who's to say that he can't run another good race?
Okay. Pinatubo hard to get away from, though, at the head of affairs in that race. And the other race at Newmarket that we want to focus on, we're going to talk about one at York in just a moment, was the 255, which is the Autumn Stakes. Malatham is 15-8, 5-1 Ulsa Hale, Persia 5s, Cherokee Trail is 6s, it's 7s and bigger the remainder. Again, yep. I'm going to talk about him again, Luke Elder. He's put Ropey Guest up in this at 50-1 as a place angle.
When Ropey Guest ran here last time out, I put him up as an each way bet against Wichita and a without the favourite bet, because he's the kind of horse he'll get beaten at odds on in novice company. He'll go and run in a group race and he'll finish second or third. He likes to come late off a strong pace, travels really strongly, and the better the quality of the race, the better his chance of picking up some place money.
So would you take a chance again?
Yeah, well, he should have been second last time. Maybe that's me talking through my wallet, but he was 33s into 20s. He's finished third, met trouble at a crucial stage, and was a length and a quarter behind the runner-up Persuasion that day. But he's one of two I like in the race. The other one is the pace angle. And that is Johan for William Haggis, 12-1. He's bidding for a hat trick. This race often goes to a front runner. We've had a few shocks in it, and surprisingly, Aidan O'Brien has had 13 runners in the Autumn Stakes, no winners. And he's got the 5-1 joint second favourite, Persia. So that would be a worry for backers of that one. And if there's going to be a shock, it'll probably come from a sole front runner. The wind's going to drop at Newmarket tomorrow, so you know, it's not going to be into their faces. So I wouldn't worry about the pace angle. So Johan from stall 5. Might be able to get across to the near side rail and make all, but I'll certainly be backing Ropey Guest each way at 50s as well.
Yeah, Ropey Guest will not have escaped the attention of a few punters. That is what he does, isn't it? You put him in a weak race and he finishes just as well as he does in a group race, basically. Yeah. It's on the one hand frustrating, on the other hand, when he's in this kind of race, it can be a bit of a delight each way.
Yeah, you could finish second in this on Saturday and then turn up for a novice at Yarmouth on soft ground, go off at 1-4 and finish second again.
Exactly. Right, York, the 240 was the race that we're going to focus on.
Yeah, promise me you won't mention what Luke Elder fancies when we talk about this race.
No, we've not done this race. So excellent. It's okay. Lampang's the 11-8 favourite, though.
Yeah, this is a 6 furlong listed race, the Rockingham Stakes. I mean, Lampang is an absolute superstar, winner on debut at Carlisle in a race that worked out really well. He runs in the King Power colours, was 7-2 joint favourite that day. It was some effort to win from off the pace after missing the break. He followed that up with a 5-length romp at Ripon. He's solid, but I'm going to go for one each way or without the favourite, and that's the Keith Dalglish-trained Aberama Gold. Now, he ran in the 2-year-old trophy at Redcar last Saturday and was a massive eye-catcher because there was a big advantage to being up with the pace and racing towards the far side of the track from low draws. Summer Sands, press leader when winning that race, the runner-up Troubadour, prominent, and the third Desert Safari led. Now, Aberama Gold not only was drawn poorly in stall 17 of 17, once you take the non-runners into account, but was held up towards held up as well. So did best of those ridden patiently, did best of those drawn high, raced down the stand side where the ground was a lot slower, and he's kept on well to finish fourth at 66-1 as well. So another listed race that was on heavy ground, of course, last week, so he's going to have no problems with the soft ground at York. And you know, hopefully they'll go a good clip, as they often do here at York. And 20-1 seems a fair old each way price, and I'm sure on the day on the pro race card there'll be some without the favourite bets as well.
Yeah, so you are wary of the favourite in that race.
Yeah, although he's drawn 12, and from what we saw on Friday at York, he wouldn't be drawn low down the middle of the track on the sprint course. So we've got a badly drawn favourite. Although I do respect him, I'm quite happily take the 4-1 a place by backing Aberama Gold each way at 20s.
Okay, then, so to sum up, you've got big price fancies at Newmarket. They are Ropey Guest.
That's right, Ropey Guest in the Autumn Stakes, along with Johan, 50-1 and 12-1. In the Cesarewitch, the 4-10 at Newmarket, Graceful Lady at 80-1, and Billy Ray for Mick Shannon at 40-1. And then at York, the 240 Aberama Gold.
Lovely stuff, Mr. Mount. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.